In my Christmas Eve sermon last evening, I spoke a lot about the angels who came to announce good news of great joy for all people. I asked a basic question: who needs good and joyful news today? We do, of course. Last evening, I listed some people who especially need good news: victims of sin, terror, war, and evil. Those whose lives are saturated in sin. The sick, the suffering, the dying, the grieving. All of these need to hear good news, some desperately. All of these could use a good dose of peace and healing, hope, comfort, forgiveness, and of course, salvation. Today we're going to talk about the shepherds in the Christmas story. The angels were from heaven, the shepherds were of the earth. In my 45 years of ministry, I really enjoyed children's Christmas pageants. They were fun, enjoyable, and entertaining ways of telling the Christmas story. The children who took the parts of the shepherds in the Christmas pageants were always cute and adorable. I even wrote a Christmas musical one year titled The Shepherd's Grandchildren. The artwork and Hallmark cards show shepherds that are gentle and well-dressed, whether they're in the fields or at the manger. But in reality, the shepherds in the gospel story that we just heard today were far, far from cute and adorable. They were far from being gentle and well-dressed. Shepherding or sheep herding in the culture that Jesus was born in was a despised occupation. Shepherds were outcasts, uneducated. They were at the bottom rung of the social ladder. And they were considered dishonest. They had a reputation of grazing their flocks on lands that didn't belong to them. They were basically considered thieves. If something came up missing while they were in town, the first reaction of the people was, it must have been one of those shepherds. Shepherds in that culture were considered tremendously untrustworthy. They weren't even allowed to serve as a witness in a court of law. They were untrustworthy. You couldn't trust what they said. And because they actually slept in the sheep pen at night to protect the sheep, let's say that the shepherds didn't exactly smell like a fresh-baked Christmas cookie. And yet these were the people that were to receive the divine, angelic announcement of Messiah's birth. The angels appeared to thieves, the despised, the lowly, the immoral, the outcast, the smelly, in short, the losers of the society. A verse often heard in our Christmas liturgy is from Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On them light has shined. We might paraphrase that today. The shepherds who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On them light has shined. On these shepherds shines the glory of the Lord. The beauty and the majesty of a multitude of heavenly angels came down and shone upon these smelly misfits. So why would God tell the greatest news ever to the likes of these? Why? Simply, that's the way God always works. God shows up in the lives of the undeserving. God shows up in the lives of the lowly. God shows up in the outcasts of society. By sending the angels to lowly shepherds, we can see the heart of God. We can see God's grace, God's love at work in this story. I've been hearing the song of the angels since I was a child. The song that they sang for the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest. It's probably the best known hymn in the Bible. In fact, we're going to sing it as a refrain after the sermon. We'll be singing it in Latin, Gloria in excelsis Deo, which translates to glory to God in the highest. Excelsis is highest. Deo is God. But I wonder, and this is a strange little thought of my preacher mind, I wonder if Luke only recorded for us verse 1 of the angel's hymn. Now, I'm making this up, but I'd like to suggest that there's a verse 2 to the angel's hymn that Luke doesn't give us. Again, I'm making it up. It's not in the Bible. The angels sing glory to God in the highest, verse 1. Verse 2, glory to God in the lowest. The Christmas story also happens in the lowest places. A desperate husband trying to find a place for his wife to deliver the baby. There's no room in the inn. Instead of a hospital, they go to a barn, a stable with straw and animals, and really quite the smell. Smells again. This baby wasn't placed in a comfortable crib. He was placed in a feed box for cattle. The Son of God from the highest places, from heaven, was born into the lowest of places. And the first visitors were thieves, outcasts, and smelly misfits. Glory to God in the lowest. But God's glory is there. And look at what happens in these lowest places. God shows up. God is present in the lowest places. The Word became flesh. A baby, the Son of God, was born in a lowly stable among lowly people to lowly parents. And as the story continues, it gets even lower for this family. The infant's life is threatened by King Herod. The family has to flee to Egypt. And then the infant would grow in wisdom and begin a ministry of teaching and preaching and healing. And he would eventually find himself crucified on a cross, executed in suffering and in humiliation. He would descend to the lowest of places, death. Glory to God in the lowest. Jesus went to the lowest place for us. But the good news is that death didn't get the last word. Christ humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. And because of this, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that's above every other name, the highest name. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so the angels sing the first verse of their song again at the resurrection. Glory to God in the highest. Crucifixion, glory to God in the lowest. God's glory is there. And at the resurrection, glory to God in the highest. Now, what of our lives? What of us? Right now, we're not at the highest and we're not at our lowest. I would say that we're in between. So the song of the angel has a third verse. Verse 1, glory to God in the highest. Verse 2, glory to God in the lowest. Verse 3, glory to God in the in-between. We are living in the in-between. And this is a place where God's glory lives. In the highest, in the lowest, in between. The angels announced the good news, singing glory to God in the highest. And when the shepherds heard it, the song becomes glory to God in the lowest. Is what happens there is the angels, in announcing good news, pass the baton on to the shepherds. You go and make the announcement of what is happening. And they were so thrilled at what happened that as they left that place, seeing that baby in swaddling clothes, in cloths, in bands of cloth, they went away praising God, proclaiming what they had seen. And now the baton gets passed again to the church, to us. The song of the angels becomes glory to God in the in-between. But wait a second, Pastor. Didn't you say the shepherds were unreliable and not to be trusted? Why was the message of the shepherds, their announcing and their proclamation, why was it so well received back then? They were misfits. They were untrustworthy. Why were they to be believed? And why was that message received so well down through the centuries until now? Why? Because the message, the good news, the glory is from God. And God's message, God's good news, proclaimed by the angels, proclaimed by the shepherds, proclaimed by the church, God's news will be heard. The message of the church, the message that we as church have, is a message from God. And we have a message to proclaim in this in-between time. We have good news to proclaim. But church, it's not good news when we try to badger people into believing. It's not good news when we spend our time criticizing others or arguing with them. It's not good news when we try to coerce others into believing. The message in this in-between time is the message of the angels: peace on earth, peace between people. As church, the good news that we bring is peace to others. And according to the commandment of Jesus, love one another as I have loved you. The message, the good news that we are to announce is loving one another. As church, we're called to be kind to one another, forgiving one another, as Christ has forgiven us. Our call as church is to serve the lowly, even to wash their feet. The message of the church is the whole song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the lowest, glory to God in the in-between. Glory to God. That's our message. Glory to God. And with that message, we bring peace, we bring love, we bring kindness. We bring Jesus to others. We are Jesus to others. Let's end our sermon in prayer. Pray now with me, if you would. Let's give thanks to God on this Christmas day for the birth of Jesus. In our minds, turn our hearts and minds to God, thanking God for the birth of Jesus. And listen as we do and hear the angels sing, glory to God in the highest. Thinking of the birth of Jesus, we hear the angels sing, glory to God in the highest. And pray now and ask that God, through the church, that God will help those who are now in low places, down in the dumps, hurting, set apart from society, misfits. And listen and hear the angels sing as we pray for those in low places. Glory to God in the lowest. And pray now and ask that God's presence and grace be made known in the world today, through the church, by us, through acts of love, through acts of caring. Pray that God will be made known through simple acts of kindness. Pray that God will be known as we listen to others. Pray that God's presence and grace and love will be known as we care for those in need. Listen and hear the angels singing, glory to God in the in-between. Glory to God in the in-between. As we lift our hearts, minds, and souls to God, hear the angels' song, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the lowest. Glory to God in the in-between. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.